So unfortunately, I don't have time to edit in any music after this. So at the top, I'm just going to start with "All around me are familiar faces, worn out places." The Sixers have lost in the second round once again, and because we just want to be back on our bullshit here, I've brought in fan favorite M Dell NBA, aka we're back on our bullshit to have an obituary for the Embiid Simmons era of the Sixers. So Matt, how are we feeling this morning?
I mean, I look at it more of as a celebration of life. Honestly, I'm doing really good. With the Sixers out of the playoffs and out of my mind for a little while, I've had time to rekindle some of my old passions and try new things. I've gotten really into dancing. I'm finally practicing bodies and spaces. I'm trying new restaurants. I'm putting myself out there finally. I'm going out into the big city and I'm meeting new people. Listen, everyone can be upset about the game, can be upset about the season, the series, whatever. Had they won this year in Doc's first year, what are we even playing for next year? So I look at this as sort of a blessing in disguise, and it's giving me an opportunity to find myself as a person. How are you feeling?
I haven't been able to do that in the last 12 hours, mostly because I slept for 7 of it.
Oh, I haven't slept.
definitely some nine-dimensional chess going on from Doc Rivers by throwing this game and this series. But no, I feel pretty bad. I feel like shit, to quote Bo Burnham. Basically, there are a lot of thoughts going on in my head right now. I think that I said before the playoffs, I said earlier in the season that if the Sixers lose in the second round again, that it's probably a good thing in the long run, just because, as you just said, this team is fraudulent, and any team that has the core that this team has is never going to win a championship. So ultimately, this it's hard to see it right now, but I do think that in 5 years from now, if the Sixers ever are actual finals contenders and not even bigger frauds than the Milwaukee Bucks, that we might look back on this moment as a crossroads. Either we're gonna fall into irrelevance again, or we're going to actually make some moves that turn us back into championship contenders, which we haven't been in like fucking 20 years at this point. So I don't know. There's a lot of thoughts going on in my brain. Let's just start up top with last night. A bunch of fucking joke artists. I can't really put it any other way. And I said this, as someone who has struggled with my mental health and let it affect my performance as a worker
Sure.
and a laborer, I probably relate with the Sixers team more than any other team in the
Yeah,
NBA.
they're like my they're my spirit animal, you know.
I have a level of empathy and compassion for them as a human being. And sometimes sports just makes us into absolute psychos. And we say the worst things imaginable. But ultimately, what this came down to is two of our three max players, mainly our second best player on the team, Ben Simmons, who clearly is going through something mentally right now that I don't even think that none of us could diagnose.
It's crazy the two of our three max players, one of them refuses to try to dunk, and the other one is incapable of finishing dunks. And they're both 6'10".
They're both like could
The tallest men you would ever see in your entire life.
If you saw them on the street, you would immediately text all your friends and be like, I just saw the tallest guy I'll ever see. And in an NBA game, they play like they're 5'11". It's truly, truly amazing.
I mean, in Ben's defense, Trae Young was locking down under the basket. So the Thibault pass made sense in the context, but a lot of people refuse the context and they just sort of rely on their emotions. But yeah.
I mean, Trae Young, in all credit to him, is an elite rim protector, instills a ton of fear in guys when they go to the basket. So passing it to the worst offensive player in the NBA in that moment is quite a move.
Yeah.
And obviously, they had a ton of opportunities to pull away at the end of this game, which was probably the most frustrating part. I knew that they were losing the game the second the Thibault missed that three. Like, I know that all the stuff that happened afterwards, the Thibault foul on the Herter thing, the Embiid turnover to Gallo, Ben passing up a wide open dunk to get it to Thibault, like all that stuff. I knew it was over the second that Thibault missed that three, when I believe we were up four in the fourth quarter.
And then they hit a three and it was a 6-point swing.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the moment that I was like, this game's over. We're losing. But ultimately, we're in the same position that we've been the past few years, which is early exit from the playoffs. Still have yet to be the conference finals. The most sickening fact is the fact that since the process began, the Hawks have now made it to the conference finals twice, once with the Budenholzer Hawks, who were fraudulent, and now they've completely rebuilt and beat us. So before we get into like Doc, Ben, Tobias, Thibault, like all that stuff, how real Hooper pilled are you now that we have lost in seven games to the Trae Young Hawks?
If you can't get me a bucket, and if you don't have a bag, you can get shipped right to Siberia. If you're coming with three quarters of a bag, like I don't want you in my city.
Do we just need to create a Embiid plus real Hooper team? Is that like the championship formula?
Like literally Embiid, Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Clarkson,
Tyler Hero.
Yeah, Tyler Hero,
Spencer Dinwiddie,
brother, him as well.
Just seven guards and Embiid. Seven guards who can get a bucket and Embiid.
Yeah, like it's, what are we doing? Like I'm like three guys on the all defense team. How about three guys on the all MB, all bucket getters team?
Three guys who just have literally no conscience. Just like,
yeah.
Like, we just need...
Like, serious question. If you sub... Like, I'm not even kidding. If you just take Ben Simmons out and you put Deion Waiters in his place last night, we just do.
Like, if you just give me 41-year-old Jamal Crawford. Like, are you kidding me? Just absolute, just unconscious bucket getter. But, like, I've talked about like the idea of players that are like smart, like Ben, Tobias, even Embiid, like they're clearly smart guys. Like Tobias especially reads books and does politics and those things. Mm-hmm. Ben is clearly a smart guy. And I think that when you get into these situations where there's high pressure, high intensity moments, if you're a smart guy, you're very aware of the moment. You're very – you can crumble under the pressure of the moment even. Mm-hmm. Whereas Tyler Hero just goes out there, and Tyler Hero has had like seven thoughts in his whole life. And he is – and obviously he didn't play well in this playoffs. But like I'm talking about like Eastern Conference Finals Tyler Hero, who literally doesn't even know where he is. And he's just – there is an advantage if you're not that top level as like – NBA Couchside said, like, the best players are smart players who are psychos and can compartmentalize basketball versus real life. And Tyler, if you don't have that kind of brain, you need the Tyler Hero kind of brain, which is essentially, I'm a bucket.
Yeah, like, do you want a guy who reads the court, like, intuitively and has like this preternatural scent of his surroundings? Or do you want a guy like Tyler Hero, who's in Jack Harlow's MySpace top 8? I'm going with the second one. I'm sorry.
Like, does what I'm getting at here is, does Tyler Hero have the perfect brain?
It's I don't know how you could have a more perfect brain than Tyler Hero. Do you think Tyler Hero has thought about their first round exit one time since they lost? There's like literally zero chance.
He's like a goldfish. He literally has zero memory of what happened last month, and he's just thinking about getting buckets this offseason and then going into next season and getting buckets. Like, we really need to talk about the bucket getter revolution more.
I agree. You know how like there's that running joke, like players like they're going to Cancun like when they lose a series. Like, Tyler Hero went to Cancun after game two and like was just coming back on flights to play the games. Like, he was so pumped about Cancun.
He was mentally in Cancun. He was already
Tyler still goes to college spring breaks.
They play the Tyler Hero song at the parties that he's at, and everyone is just like, I am so glad that Tyler
Hero still has a dorm room.
When people show up to parties, people like Tobias Harris is like reading a book in the corner. Like, he's not.
He still has a dorm room at Kentucky.
He's like Van Wilder.
Yeah. He's like, actually, I like the Van Wilder, The Rise of Taj, more than the original.
It's a deep cut reference right there. All right. Straight to DVD shit. We are aging ourselves here. But so obviously I see a lot of people today saying, you know, okay, we've kind of run our course. We don't want to do what the Blazers did, which is essentially with the CJ and Dame thing, where they've now been together for like 7 years as like the best two players on that team, or maybe 6 years, whatever it is. And they've kind of run its course, and you don't want
to pretend like they like each other.
they have to pretend like their games complement each other. And yeah. CJ has to go on Twitter and criticize Giannis every year after getting eliminated in the first round, because he has true hoop brain. He has real bucket getter brain, that everything that happens is completely not on him. And that's the kind of mentality that you have to have. But basically, we're now at the point of the crossroads of the Embiid Simmons era, where we know what Ben Simmons is in the regular season as a player, and we know what he is in the playoffs as a player. And even if we got Celtics series Ben Simmons or Raptors series Ben Simmons, we probably win this series. That's how close the margin was. Like, if Ben doesn't shoot 20% from the line, like,
if he doesn't shoot that from the line, like we're probably up like 32 points rather than 26. Like, they're not coming. Like, this series is literally over in five if he just like shows any, like, if he even like his plays like half of like his regular season self. And he didn't play like half of his regular season self. He played like 5% of what he's capable of.
Right. And we all know everything that has been said, and we've defended Ben before. We thought that he might have really turned a corner and figured some things out. He's been better as a defender. He was able to get out and transition and create some open looks for guys, but a lot of the assists that he had last night were guys creating their own shot, and his assist numbers are a little bit fake in that regard. And ultimately, when you are a max contract guy in the NBA, unfortunately, you will be treated like a max contract guy. And we're now at the point where everyone's saying, you can't trade Ben, you can't trade Ben, you can't trade Ben, because obviously, a lot of people are saying you should trade Ben, but there are detractors saying you can't trade Ben because he's at his lowest theoretical value right now as a player.
I know, but it's like, I get that. And like, I think Ben is obviously like, this is not the fault situation where it can get like, I don't think it can get worse than this, but like,
yeah,
you can't just assume that like his value is going to skyrocket. What if he starts next season and he's like playing like this?
Or he gets an injury.
Yeah. And then it's like, okay, this guy's like, already like had a Jones fracture and then like he get, and then back injury, and then he has this injury, and also he's not good at basketball and has literally less than 1% of a bag. Like, I don't put them on the team.
Like, ultimately, when it all the things you said are 100% true, and I think the biggest factor of this is the fact that Embiid is 1 year away from, he has 2 years left on his deal. Extension talks can start this summer. All the power is in his possession. He can say, you know what? Let's wait it out. Let's see how the offseason goes. Let's see how next season goes before I sign any sort of extension. And then we're talking about a year from now, him essentially forcing a trade. And Zach Lowe said on his podcast when he had Spike Eskin on before the Sixers lost the series, he said, well, what if they trade Ben Simmons and Embiid looks around and says, wait, there's no other All-Stars here.
Yeah.
They're not able to get a return. And I understand that totally. But the reality is Ben Simmons is not an All-Star in the playoffs. He isn't. Like, he's in the regular season, he's a top 30 guy. In the postseason, I mean, and even that is arguable. I would say he's like a top 30 guy. But in the postseason,
yeah, no, I would say so. That's fair.
His value is cut in half, if not worse. And you're looking at a top 75, 100 guy in terms of like what the value that shot creation in the playoffs, self-generated offense, things that you need to work with a guy like Embiid when you run your offense out of the post. Now, when Ben is passively standing in the dunker spot and not even doing anything off the ball, essentially, mm-hmm. except for occasionally setting a screen.
But he doesn't even roll, like he doesn't even attack open space off ball anymore. Like he used to be like, and like it was always frustrating. Like he would, like he had such a knack for like, or he just like, he had, such a knack for like attacking open space and then like rolling hard to the rim or like cutting hard on the baseline. And like, unfortunately, like we have like all of our other players like have Tobias Harris brain where they don't see anything other than the hoop and like, and their hand dribbling the ball. But like, he doesn't even do that anymore. Like there was plenty of possessions where like there would be like a long rebound and Ben didn't occupy any open space. And then he wasn't there to get that rebound or like there would be like, a soft miss and like, he didn't go attack like, and get under the rim looking for rebounds. Like he's just, he literally didn't even do the stuff that he like has always consistently done.
Right. The cutting has gone away. The screening, mm-hmm.
Even the screening was like, it was like all like, just like very lackluster. Like it was like, he was going through the motions. Like nothing looked deliberate. Like it just did it.
And when you're in a situation where you want to try to run your offense through the post and your second best player is standing in that dunker spot, it is going to create a lot of spacing issues. Now, if you could do it in Embiid plus a four out offense with a capable ball handler and playmaker in the half court, you're talking about a different situation. I think that ultimately, when it comes down to it, like, it is going to be hard to get real value back for Ben Simmons right now. He's making $30 million, just had the worst playoff series of his career from an offensive perspective. There is a team, like, I do just think there is a team out there that will talk themselves into three-time All-Star, All-Defense, mm-hmm. like, there might be
he's going to get value. We're going to get value back for Ben. We're probably underrating his value a little bit. Like, I don't think he has the value he had, like, obviously, even like a month ago. But there's going to be a team who's going to bite and there's going to be like a dumb, front office that's going to bite and say like, oh, we can fix this guy. We have the right type of roster to like position him at the center of or in the center of. Like, I don't know what team it's going to be. It's probably going to be a team outside of the playoffs that's looking to like jumpstart or like, sort of accelerate their rebuild or whatever. And like, at which point, like we might get like a good young player in return or like an unhappy, veteran, like fringe star potentially. But like the days of like hoping, like we would even get like a Zach LaVine back, like it's just not going to happen.
I would be skeptical that we could, but
I don't think that we could get something like that.
No, I mean, that is shooting for the stars at this point. I mean,
can I actually ask you a question real quick? Because this is worth discussing. Like, is a Ben Simmons, like, just like he's just the centerpiece of the package, more valuable than like Maxi and multiple picks? Like, is that more intriguing? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like Maxi multiple picks is more intriguing.
But the problem is with a maxi and multiple picks trade is that...
Oh, because of salary.
The salary. Is and
well, you'd have to attach somebody then. Or I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. We don't have biggest, the second and third... The biggest salary on the Sixers is Tobias Harris.
And then it's Embiid and
then it's Embiid. You're not getting rid of Embiid. No. Then you have Ben Simmons as the third biggest. So unless you're doing some sort of Simmons, maxi, and picks deals for a player who is clearly better than those guys... Or yeah. You're doing a Tobias maxi and you're sending picks around and you're getting 30. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard to figure out because this is one thing that I've complained a lot about is
what does Curry make? 10? Does he make 10?
$8 million a year.
And what does Maxi make? Like
2.
Jeez. Yeah. Why don't we have any like mid? I mean, like, I guess like that's like, a, I mean, Seth has an incredible contract, but like, why don't we have any guys like
Danny like Green is, but he's like, expiring.
Yeah, I know. It's, oh, my God. Yeah. Man.
So you're really in a hard situation from a salary to get a – okay, let's just say theoretically you were able to get a fourth guy. Not Jimmy Butler level, obviously, but like right. someone who – let's just say like Malcolm Brogdon. Like let's yeah, just say the Pacers decide to blow it up and they're interested in Maxi, George Hill – Seth, whatever it is.
Yeah, you just like pile up. You just pile up contracts until you get to
right. 75. I don't think that getting someone on the Brogdon level to put with Tobias, Ben, Embiid is really going to solve much of anything because Malcolm Brogdon is not really a closer. He's not really a generate his own offense at a high level in the playoffs. In the regular
like
season.
Drew. Like he's a little bit like he's similar yeah. to a Drew type of player, and that's not what this team needs.
And actually, I think that Brogdon functions better in a less carry the load, more 3-and-D kind of wing guy that occasionally handles the ball like he did in Milwaukee. And,
yeah, he made total sense in Milwaukee.
Yeah. And so what it comes down to for me is you're still going to have the same issues that you have especially if you keep Doc Rivers as coach, because Doc is unwilling to play Ben at the five, which, by the way, I do not think that Ben at the five works. I never have been an advocate of this. For an extended period of time against a good team in the playoffs, Ben at the five is not going to work. It wouldn't work against a team like Milwaukee. It probably wouldn't even work against a team like Brooklyn. But the fact that he didn't even fucking try it this series, and you're playing Dwight Howard, who is literally the worst rotation player left in the playoffs, and you're playing him extended minutes, partially because Morey didn't go out and get a better backup stretch five, partially because Ben Simmons can't play with a traditional center, and then also just your own fucking stubbornness. We're bleeding points. This guy's literally running into Trae Young in like when he ran into Trae Young during transition. I literally felt like I was losing my fucking mind. Yeah. Like the inflexibility of Doc Rivers as a coach, coupled.
I've never people used to say Brett was inflexible, and like I'm sorry, like I'm not trying to turn this into like Brett was like a great coach, because Brett like had all sorts of issues as a coach. I'd say he was like probably an average to sometimes slightly below. Like yeah. He usually flirted like slightly above average, slightly below average. Like you know, probably like you know top 15 coach in the league type of guy.
Right.
What like Doc is just like I've never seen a less flexible. Less willing to adjust coach in my entire life. There was two things last night. I think I told you one of them that just like literally left me like completely flummoxed. The first was you bring Maxi in, and like Maxi's entire value is running the offense, running off high screens, attacking into the teeth of the defense and either passing out. Cause he's a pretty intuitive passer. He has good like peripheral awareness, or attacking the basket or throwing up one of those floaters. He left Simmons in the game, and for three straight possessions, Maxi went to the corner and never touched the ball, which at that point, what's the point of having – you might as well put like – you would have more value putting Matisse Thybulle in at that point because at least like he does other stuff or like he's able to function off ball. Maxi is an on-ball player. And then they bring in when Ben was still in, they brought in Dwight. So it was Ben, Dwight, and Maxi. Later in the game, this is the second thing, there was a lineup that was like, I think it was Hill, Maxi, Tobias, Ben, and Matisse. Like, how do you do that?
It's
it was something like that. I don't even remember if that was the exact lineup, but it was something that egregious. And it's this was late in the third quarter. Like I think like 3 minutes left in the third quarter. It was, I can tell you right now, because I'm looking at my Twitter. Matisse Dwight Hill, Maxi Tobias. Yeah. Just unbelievable. Like that's an unbelievably bad lineup.
My thing is, I can't believe I'm fucking saying this. Mike Budenholzer used this regular season to experiment with rotations, to experiment with lineups. And by game 7 of the second round, he figured out, oh, we can't play this guy with this guy. We can only play our top 7 guys. We can only play. And I understand that the Ben problem does make these things harder. Ben can't play with non-stretch fives. Ben struggles defensively as a five. It's an issue. He presents a unique roster construction issue that a lot of other quote-unquote star players do not. I understand that. But if you're this fucking accountability coach, you're the guy who figures things out, you're the guy who players love when they play for you, then you need to fucking figure these things out in the regular season, dude. We don't have time for this, figuring this out on the fly in the playoffs, throwing in guys and hoping that they work and like getting lucky with Shake Milton. I gave him credit for throwing Shake in as a curveball when he did it.
Mm-hmm.
But like ultimately, like Maxi and Shake, and like we should have seen this coming with those guys.
I'm sorry, in the fourth quarter, games. I like Shake, and I thought like that decision earlier in the series to play him was smart because like they just needed some type. They needed to like try something else, and like Shake is good at attacking the rim and like finding ways to score like around the paint. But putting Shake Milton in that game with like 9 minutes left after having sat on the bench for 2.5 hours was a fireable offense. I feel bad for Shake Milton. That was insane.
Yep.
Like, all right, I have to tell you. All right, so we were just talking about like rotations and stuff. Do you know who played the fifth most minutes in the game last night for the Sixers is?
George Hill.
Yeah. You want to know who had the lowest plus minus on the team was?
Dwight or George Hill?
George Hill. Minus 15 in 21 minutes. Minus 15 to 21 minutes. Here's a question. Because like this would have been like, you know, maybe George Hill's in and Seth Curry's out. I know Curry was getting destroyed on defense, but if Curry plays 35 minutes instead of 30 and in a game 7, don't we win?
Okay, so Seth was getting destroyed on defense, but I feel like there is something about how Atlanta constructed their roster and built it for the playoffs versus how the Sixers constructed their roster and showed the differences between a great regular season team and a good playoff team.
Yeah.
Because Atlanta has enough capable ball handlers and guys who can create their own shot and create offense for others that they can attack Seth Curry. Whereas the Sixers don't have that many guys in their rotation. And this is something that I talked about before the playoffs. You need to have ball handlers and shooters that so that you can't hide guys like Trae Young on defense. The Sixers weren't able to hide their worst defenders and make it matter on the other end because we're playing Thibault. We're playing Ben, who, like Gallo as a defender, is going to get toasted by any perimeter player. Well, we can just stick him on Ben and he can just sit in the post and he can try to guard him from there. Like, the roster construction issues is a part of this. And like Morey, as good as he did with like turning the team around, getting Seth, winning that trade, getting Danny Green, doing all these things, ultimately he needs to figure out what this team can do in the playoffs. Cause we've known they're a good regular season team in the past.
Here's the thing, like with more, like, can you imagine if like it was like our old front office regime right now? Like I just wouldn't watch now. Like I'd stop watching. I was so close, and you know, like I was like less interested, like even earlier this season than I've been in the past. But like before we hired Morey, like when we lost in the bubble last year, I was like, I like don't care. Like this is so stupid. Like what are we even doing at this point? But like I at least know that like Morey has like created assembled rosters with guys who can initiate from the perimeter. Like he's had Chris Paul. He's had James Harden. Like he knows how to win at the high. Like he really truly does know how to like build a roster that's able to contend for a championship. It's all a matter of how he's able to do it with like, you know, sort of the obstacles that we have with our current roster construction and the way that our money plays it, or the way that the money is, you know, dispersed. But
no, I totally agree. And I also look at it like the Rockets, Maury's Rockets ran into the best team of my lifetime in the Warriors. And then we
ran into the second best team in the Atlanta Hawks. So very similar.
It's true. I mean, how can you even compete with Kevin Herter? And like, by the way, good players. Bogdan Bogdanovich, I don't think he hit a shot last night. Mm-hmm. I don't think Trae Young, John Collins, all of their players refused to show up until the fourth quarter when it actually fucking mattered. And like, ultimately, what the Sixers are going to have to figure out is who can close games for them. Who can generate that those shots? And now you're looking at a situation where they had this was such a Philadelphia loss. It reminds me of the year that the Eagles lost in the NFC Championship game when I was very young to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, that's been there. And that's not to like go like sports talk radio, but like that was a parallel. And that's very, yep. It reminds me very much of that.
Open road to the championship. You have a MVP candidate on your team. You're on the verge of creating something special, and then you lose to a team who's just not as good as you, but mm-hmm. they execute better than you. They're better built for the playoffs, and on top of that, you now. By the way, I don't think they would have beat the Bucks. I'm not saying that they would have. I think they
would have been funny.
It would have. I think it would have because of the matchup issues that we had with the Hawks. I think that the Hawks were uniquely built to give a team like the Sixers trouble in the same way that they will for the Bucks. But I think that ultimately the Bucks have enough shot creation and the Bucks have enough capable defenders to be able to beat the Hawks. Yeah. And I think that we probably match up pretty well with the Bucks, but like. Regardless, we should have fucking won this series. Like, at a certain point, like, I could get mad at the players, and like, I can get mad at Tobias for last night for blowing three layups, and I can get mad at Ben, and even Embiid, like, eight turnovers in a big game, and like, you know, he carried us for chunks of it, but like, down the stretch, struggled, like, all that stuff. I can get mad at everyone on the roster, Thibault, whoever it is.
Wait,
I'm sorry, I'm doing the Chris Vernon thing where
go ahead, go ahead. Yeah, you're like, they got, listen, Cam, they got Isaiah Joe, Jeff Curry,
B-Ball Paul,
Danny Green, Kevin Obama, Kimbo Concert, Kevin O'Candyland, Kevon.
A zombie with no conscience, a ghoul, Godzilla.
Turn that 62 to 125, 125 to a 250.
LeBron, Rihanna, Kanye. All right, anyway.
Umbral.
I can get mad at everyone on the roster. I can get mad at the GM. I can get mad at whoever. Doc Rivers has had better teams, has had teams that are more capably built for the playoffs, as we are seeing with the Clippers this year.
It's like the same exact team, like literally the same exact team. There's a couple additions, but it's really the same team.
Nicholas Batum.
Was Reggie Jackson on their team here? Didn't he just bury him? Did he even play him?
I think he did play him, but like.
That's awesome.
He's been fucking fantastic for them. By the way, Terrence Mann played spot minutes for them in the playoffs. And that, well, he was a rookie. He was 23 years old. It's not like he was a fucking 20-year-old rookie. Like, and now he literally just won them a second round game. And the thing about that is like, it's so frustrating to me that like my guys that I wanted the Sixers to hire before the season were Mike D'Antoni and Ty Lue, because I felt as though even though
better coaches
Just some of their success might have been due to their star players, some whatever. But like D'Antoni has a system.
Mm-hmm.
Might not have worked with the Sixers, but he has a system at least.
Ty Lue is incredibly – he's so good and so willing to adjust game to game.
Yes.
And you saw that even when even those Cavs teams.
Yep.
Like when they won in 2016, he coached an incredibly – good 7-game series against the Warriors.
And everyone said that, like, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, Kyrie, LeBron, like, everyone loves Ty Lue. Everyone who has ever fucking played for him loves him. And we said this before, it's like, if you're not winning with Doc Rivers, after 2 or 3 years, shit, the wheels start to come off, man. And, like, you're really going to risk fucking making Joel Embiid the fucking runner-up for MVP, inarguably a top 5 or 6 player in the NBA right now, and you're going to risk pissing him off because you signed fucking Doc Rivers, who has had multiple playoff chokes. When I say multiple, the most playoff chokes of any coach ever. Won a title one time back in 2008 with Tom Thibodeau as one of his assistants, who's one of the best defensive coaches in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen. Like, you're telling me that the Sixers can build a roster that is better than those Clippers teams, that is better than last year's Clippers team, that is better than some of those Celtics teams.
I tweeted the other day, like, dude, like, you're watching Chris Paul, like, not even 100% make it to the Western Conference Finals, and he's already made a Western Conference Finals with Houston. Yep. He had Chris Paul, who I think is the best point guard of my entire lifetime. He's probably, you can argue after when his career is over, he's maybe a top 20 player of all time.
Yeah.
And he had prime Blake Griffin, and he couldn't get to the Western Conference Finals. Like, it's baffling.
He Absolutely. Lost game 7 to the Houston Rockets. Corey Brewer and Josh Smith went off.
James Kevin Harden Herter. Was on the bench the entire quarter. He didn't even – James Harden wasn't even playing in that comeback when they were up 3-1. And then he somehow blew a 3-1. It's, like, baffling.
Is it just bad vibes? Like, what – because, like, at a certain point – all these blown leads in the playoffs, all the fucking, like, you know, none of this matters if maybe Thibodeau hits that shot. Thibodeau doesn't foul hurt or whatever. Maybe it doesn't matter if Simmons gets that dunk. But all these tiny little paper cuts that seem to uniquely happen to Doc Rivers teams. And I'm never a fire the coach guy. But, mm-hmm. like, you're treading on some very thin water right now in terms of keeping Embiid happy, building a competent roster around him, whether that means getting rid of Ben Simmons, getting rid of Tobias Harris, whatever it is, and having a coach who is unwilling to adjust in the playoffs, who does not even experiment in the regular season, even though he was a very good regular season coach when it came to wins.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do here? Like,
it's like he's been doing all of this all year. And, like, yeah, in the regular season, you're just going up against teams that aren't game planning for you.
Yep.
Like, he's been doing, like, the all-bench lineups and, like, the Matisse-Ben-Dwight lineups all year. And it's baffling that he would do that in a Game 7. Like, you even – like I don't remember how many minutes Giannis played. I think he played, like, 48 or 47.
He played a lot, yeah.
In that Game 7. It's like, I understand Embiid, like, gets gassed, but, like, we're playing Dwight Howard for 7 minutes. If you play Embiid for, like, 44, like, he would have been down to play. I guarantee he would have played those 44. We probably win. Like, we just probably do. And it's like there was no urgency. You're playing, like, 4 guys from the bench in a lineup in the final minutes of the third quarter of a Game 7. I just don't get it. I don't get it, man. It's crazy.
When guys get in foul trouble, he immediately will pull them. Even in, like, a fucking big game like this, he'll pull Seth early, he'll pull whatever. It's like, bro, you can. I know you're a Lincoln Project guy, but you can't coach conservative, bud. Like,
I know. I've been, like, trying to – the past, like, 3 minutes while we've been talking, like, about the Sixers, I've been trying to think of, like, a rap lyric for, like, Doc, Lincoln, and Project. And I was like – I'm like, I didn't think of anything good, but I was just, like, hopping the Lincoln – meet the doc, that is my project. I don't know. I couldn't think of anything, but if anyone that's listening can think of something, please DM it to Trill.
And, maybe we could tie in some Matthew McConaughey there with the Lincoln.
Oh, yeah, that's actually great. It might have to be like a full bar. I don't think it can just be like the one liner, yeah.
But, like,
might have to be a full song.
Ultimately, like, okay. So Let's look at the numbers, and we could do the whole small sample thing size. We could do the whole, Ben Simmons thing. We could do the whole, we could do the whole Joel Embiid, whatever. So when Joel Embiid was playing in the same game as Dwight Howard in these playoffs, so not counting the last Wizards game, the Sixers were a plus 15 per 100 possessions with Joel Embiid on the court, a 123 offensive rating. Now, that's come down a lot in the past few games. It was in, like, the 130s.
Yeah.
With Joel off the court and Dwight on the court, the Sixers were a negative 13 in per 100 possessions, negative 13.9, a 98 offensive rating.
Which would probably, I would imagine that would rank last in the NBA.
By, like, 10
points. It's really
like bad. Literally the worst offense. Like, just the thought never even came into their mind when the other team sit, like when Trey sits, who do they have that is generating genuine rim pressure on that team as a self creator or a lob, like a guy who can throw lobs?
Here's my question. Like, so like, I agree. Like, there's like nobody, but here's like, what doesn't make any sense to me at all. Like, he had, and like, part of this is Embiid, but like, I tweeted last night, it's like Embiid isn't going to contest those Trey floaters. Like, he just isn't. Like, Trey is going to get those floaters off. Like, maybe every once in a while he'll get a hand on one, or he'll sort of deter the shot, or like make it a tougher angle. But like, he was playing no man's land so much because he was stepping up every time Trey would cut in, and then it was like a wide open Capella dunk.
Right.
What's the difference if we don't have a center in? Like, they don't have a post up threat. Like, if we're just running Tobias and Ben as our bigs, it's not any different. They wouldn't be able to attack us any differently. Like, they just wouldn't. Like, they don't have guys that are like attacking the rim. They're a 3-point shooting team, and when they go into the paint, it's always Trey. Like, it's not like Kevin Herter might like do like a back down around the elbow and like take like a 10-foot jump shot. But other than that, they don't have slashers. So it's like, at the end of the day, it's not like it would be a layup line. It makes no sense that we
the
didn't
slashers
even
that they the slashers and lob threats that they have are Capella and Collins, and their offensive value is tied to Trae Young.
Yeah,
because he is the one generating these lobs and hitting cutters. So, as you said, not having a guy in there, it doesn't like. We literally had Gallo feasting. The only time that anyone posted up last night for the Hawks was Gallo on George Hill exploiting that mismatch every single time. What the fuck are you doing? Why are you just letting George Hill die out there? The Sixers have the biggest team in the NBA. Like, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, even Thibault. Who?
All you need is size on Gallo. It's not like he's not quick. Let's be real, pal. He doesn't have a bag. And like... He has like a negative bag. Like, he's just like, it's just none of it, dude. Like, none of it makes any sense. It's absolutely baffling that like they just didn't try things that were so obvious for seven games. Like, that's a 2-week span of not trying things. And like, I'm sorry, like Mike Levin already did this, and like it's been a joy to listen to, not a joy because I feel bad for his mental health, but like he's been pretty like singular these past three games on podcasts. But like he was saying, like God damn it, what was I talking about? Oh, after game five, like Doc was like, we didn't practice. Like, we're just ready to roll. It's like, no, you're not. Like, everybody hates each other right now. Like, like you can just tell, like when Simmons didn't go for that dunk, and Bede looked like he just lost his first born child. Like, he looked devastated. Redact.
I don't have time to edit this, so you're officially canceled.
Yeah, I'm canceled.
Can't believe you would joke about that so close to the death of his dog.
No. But actually, let me read a tweet real quick where I did a bunch of take, and I think that they're all apt.
This is great podcast material. Matt reading his tweets.
No, but it's about Embiid, and it's gonna show you how much I actually care about him as a father. Joel Embiid had his first child, a beautiful baby boy, back in September. Sadly, as is the case for most professional athletes, his job takes away from time at home. Maybe instead of trashing the Sixers, we should be celebrating Embiid's much-deserved father-son time. Hashtag fatherhood.
Wow. That's really deep. Wow. On Father's Day, too? That's so beautiful. That
like 3 in the morning, I was just firing off those takes in a thread. It was very unhealthy.
Yeah, you need to be medicated. So I'm glad that we are discussing this in a therapeutic way on the podcast. So ultimately, I think I've gotten most of my frustration out. Where do the Sixers go from here? I'll have more off-season podcasts where I discuss maybe some trade ideas. It's free agency. You're pretty much just going to have the mid-level exception unless you can come up with some sort of Ben Simmons or Tobias Harris salary dump that generates a little bit of space.
Is there a way for us to just like have like cap space again? Like
who are the free agents? That's the question. Or like,
okay. Yeah, I guess there isn't. This isn't like a huge free agent class, is it? Like,
no, it's really bad. Honestly, the best.
Lowry's a free agent.
Yep. The best free agents that for the Sixers would be like Lowry, DeRozan, like pretty much DeRozan. The whole.
Dude, if we have DeRozan instead of Ben, we win this series in four. Like, I'm sorry, he's an absolute bag. He's a bucket getter. He's a true hooper. He has the Hezzy pull up Jimbo on lock.
We need someone with the mentality of DeMar DeRozan.
Everybody makes fun of everyone makes fun of Kevin Durant for like being like, oh, like real hoopers know. It's like, yeah, no, man. Like real hoopers do know.
They
like,
do.
Kevin Durant's the best player in the world because he has like 7,000 bags.
It's true. He's got a his bag is deeper than the ocean. So like really yeah. What we have to
which
search
is like,
for.
Which is almost as big as Anthony Edwards.
It's true. So ultimately, the kind of true hooper guys that we could maybe get on the team, even though Lowry's more of like an analytics nerd type guy, would be like DeMar, Spencer Dinwiddie, Evan Fournier, like guys who are...
You're speaking my language right now.
I don't think that they're going to make much of a difference in the playoffs, good regular season players. Although I think that...
I could see DeMar making a difference in the playoffs. If he's playing with like a true superstar like Embiid.
Come on, dude.
Nah, he has a bag, dude. I'm sorry. Dude. I'm fully true hooper filled. Like anyone that has a bag can do anything in the playoffs to me.
He doesn't shoot threes. Like he's another guy who's just like he does have a bag. He's an improved playmaker. He's still a really bad defender. He doesn't shoot threes. And when he's been the focal point of an offense and he's the perimeter creator, those teams have gone up in flames very similarly to the Sixers in the playoffs.
Wouldn't it be so funny if we had lineups next year with like DeRozan, Tobias Harris, and Tyrese Maxey on the court at the same time? The amount of long twos that would just get thrown at the rim would be just absolutely stunning.
Honestly, do we do a DeMar and Lowry reuniting as 30-something-year-olds in Philadelphia next year, try to relive the Raptors days?
Yeah, no, that would be actually like really sick, like a good reboot. I think that like Lowry is, I don't know, man. Like I don't want to like go like full like Raptors brain because like their fans are just like intolerable at this point. Like yeah. they're just horrible. Like they never like Kyle Lowry is literally the only person who's ever existed on the face of
okay.
the earth.
Okay, do you remember the game on Price is Right, Plinko? Where like you drop something down. Somehow Raptors fans have made it so that if you could put any game or take into the Plinko machine, and it will always land on Kyle Lowry being the best player in the NBA. By the way, I love Kyle Lowry, but like a 35-year-old Kyle Lowry probably puts us over the Hawks. I still think we'd probably lose to the Bucks. Maybe we get to the finals and we get smoked by the Suns. Like,
yeah,
like that's the thing.
Like people were like, I don't know. I shouldn't say anything because I thought like at the beginning of the playoffs, we could win a championship. But like, as everyone's like, oh, we could like play good against the Bucks. It's like, yeah, but like both teams in the West would absolutely destroy us.
Right.
Whoever comes out of the East is getting absolutely destroyed, in my opinion. Like it's just.
I just think if you want to talk about bucket getters, Clippers, Suns are like fucking.
The
real hooper
bucket getters.
Yes. Real hooper brain personified in teams. Plus they have just like a lot of like in addition to like the bucket getters like Paul George and Devin Booker and Kawhi and all that shit, like they just
really
have they have really good role players too. And like
Mikal Bridges, DeAndre Campaign.
Oh, Mikal Bridges? I'm not familiar with him.
Yeah, neither am I.
I've never heard of him in my life.
I have to go talk to my therapist.
My
I'm fine. I'm dancing. I'm learning new things. I'm trying new food. et cetera, et cetera. I haven't
bettering myself. I'm reading a book on not wanting to kill myself, and it's great. I have really bad reading comprehension though, so hopefully some of it soaks in. But
can you play us out with the Logic song?
I don't want to die. I want to die. Who can relate? Sorry, I don't have time to edit this podcast.
You should get just that clip, like the "Who can relate" the ad lib. Just like use it as like a plug-in, like throughout every podcast.
I might have to do that, honestly.
If down bar, yeah.
Yeah, I need a producer, really. But
Nephew Kyle.
So.
Oh, by the way, we don't have to talk about it. The new Bill Simmons podcast dropped while we started this. Philly Chisholm.
I can't listen. I can't listen.
I don't think I can listen to this one either. It's going to be too much.
No. And like, here's the thing.
I'll feel so jokerfied, but like,
yeah.
I don't think I'm in the right headspace.
Here's the thing for me. I hate that all the worst people in the world were right.
It's every single bad person.
It's literally like everyone who doubted the Sixers.
Even like Marcus Hayes is like, you know, more right than I am right now, which is just like something that I'm never going to be able to live with.
There are just so many people out there that told us that this. Yeah. Oh, my God. Just like literally like the Republican Party of sports writers is like
John Kincaid.
Like, yeah, like it's just and like part of that stuff is an act and it's not real. But another part of it, like they truly genuinely believe it, like the boomers were right, baby. The real hoopers were right. Like they're all in like they formed a government against the Sixers. And they were correct. We need more guys with bags. We need more guys who can create their own shot. We need more guys who can set up their teammates in the half court. And ultimately, fuck defense.
Like, I don't care. Like, I hope we have like a bottom 10 defense next year and just the most like all-star cast of bucket getters ever.
I hope we go 500.
Like, that's cool. Score 120 on us in the playoffs. We're going to score 130 and we're going to turn the ball over 25 times.
But like, okay, so my last point I just want to hit on here, and this is not in defense of Daryl Morey. I think he really honestly blew an opportunity to try to improve the roster tangibly and make it so that they were a championship contender, especially with Embiid's health and stuff. But earlier this year, I remember thinking that Morey never thought this team could win a title when he said in an interview, "Well, the way we're going to win a title is by building the best defense." And I was like, dude, you've literally always been the offense guy. Literally always been the threes and layups and free throws and the Morey ball.
The Morey said, yeah.
He literally revolutionized the NBA
with
offense. And he's out here saying that we need to have the best defense when you know that when you get to the playoffs – you luckily somehow avoided the Nets, but you probably were going to have to play the Nets. And now you're losing to a Hawks team that has not a good defense at all and a very good offense. So ultimately, Morey knew that this team didn't have a shot at the title and chose to essentially do nothing about it and kind of just fucking, you know, take a pass on this year and hope that he can rebuild it in the offseason. But now he's got to, and he did it once before. He took us and he made us into a one seed and he did all that shit. But like, we knew we were going to be a good regular season team. We knew the formula worked in the regular season because of the first Embiid Simmons year. Like, Rocco,
Very similarly designed teams. Very similar.
The only difference is that we had Tobias as like that secondary scorer. And that's just not good enough come playoff time. And like honestly, Seth was our secondary scorer, and Tobias was like our third guy. So
let me ask you, like, who? Because I said last night, like I tweeted last night, who I think 100% will be back next year. Like the players, I think 100% will be back. And I literally think it's two people because I can't be sure that Seth's going to be back, and I can't be sure Tyrese Maxey's going to be back because they're both valuable contracts. It might
true.
I think literally Embiid and Thybulle are the two guys that are back next year. Like 100% back. And then obviously like the Isaiah Joes, I'm not counting them. I'm talking about.
Yeah. I would go as far to say that the only person I can say is guaranteed on the team is Joel Embiid. And okay. I ultimately think that a team out there that could talk themselves into Ben, they could talk themselves into Thibault, Maxey and Seth have a lot of value. There might be a team that can talk themselves into Tobias.
I think there definitely could be a team that talks themselves into, like, if you weren't watching closely, like, Tobias, like, didn't look good, but, like, his numbers, other than that he got 4-point game, weren't that, like, his counting stats weren't that bad. And, like, he had a really good regular season, and, like, obviously the contract's not, like, great. Like,
it's not good.
Sucks. It doesn't suck as much as I thought it would, but it's not great.
Yeah.
I guarantee there's a team, like a rebuilding team, like right on the outside of the eights, like of the top
eight.
Like
a Sacramento or something.
Yeah, they could talk themselves into him, like where he could be like the secondary guy. He's a good locker room guy. I'm just trying to like bring this into the universe because I desperately want us to clear him.
Okay, so here's the thing with the let's do the whole Tobias thing. So Tobias, ultimately, as you said, all the positives about him. If we had, let's just say, I remember there's a guy, Paul Headley, I follow on Twitter.
Yeah,
smart NBA guy.
He's smart.
And I remember his tweet from the offseason that we chose Ben and Tobias over Jimmy. And he said, at the time, he said, if you trade Ben Simmons right now, right before his 5-year extension, and you have a core of Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, and then whoever you can get for Ben Simmons, that's a title contender.
Yeah, but it was.
The Sixers don't have a path to a Damian Lillard. They don't have a path to a Steph Curry. They don't have a path to these guys that could be that top 10 player, that top 5 player. No,
unfortunately, the only guy that can get them there would be Embiid, and you're not trading Joel Embiid.
Right. You know what I mean? So if that is the case, then it's going to be hard to find a guy with Tobias' salary on the books where it can make Tobias the third best player, and it's a better fitting second best guy than Ben Simmons. But I don't think that it is completely out of the question that if you attached Ben, Thibault, Maxey, and some star wants out, Ben, Thibault, Maxey, picks, there's enough.
That's a good haul. That's a legitimately good haul for a star.
And if it's a rebuild?
Yeah. That's like, a good haul for a star.
The question is, who is that team? And why would they want to buy low on Ben Simmons right now when they might be able to get better players out there?
Let's think of a couple of teams right now, because like I'm actually curious about this.
The Wizards, I mean Beal, like,
yeah, that would be interesting. They'd have to do something about getting rid of Westbrook, because you just can't have like you can't bring in Thibault, and I mean maybe the Wizards would because they're stupid, but like you can't bring in like Thibault, Maxey, and Ben, and then also have West. I mean it'd be really funny.
Yeah, like, it'd be hilarious.
You would probably have to do another trade to get Westbrook off the books, and that's hard in and of itself, but probably doable. I guarantee a team could talk themselves into that. But yeah, I mean, maybe Washington. I'm trying to think of those like fringe teams that are like, I don't know if this is going to happen, that would have anyone that we would even be like remotely like interested in.
Another idea I had was you send Ben and Maxey to OKC. And you get a ton of picks from them. Although with SGA, it's kind of redundant to have Maxey.
Right? Like he's not.
No, he's fucking awesome. No, there's no way.
He's dope, man.
In 2 or 3 years, he'll be a top 15 player. I'm 100% positive.
Yeah.
They're not getting rid of like SGA is their centerpiece right now, and so you don't really have much value for Maxey. But like if they wanted to buy, but. Jason Tatum? Do the Celtics
no,
want?
I was mostly kidding, but like I think that Luka just absolutely hates Dallas Mavericks.
I do too, but I also think he's not going to turn down $200 million.
Yeah,
so,
he won't.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We're going to do the whole. Luka thing. No, but the OKC thing is like you send Ben there. They buy low on him. Maybe they send you 3 like not great first round picks. Then you unload those picks with Tobias's salary,
and you get like a,
and you get back, and you're just trading for guys into space. So like maybe you get like a salary dump of like Ricky Rubio or something, who's essentially the same thing as Ben at this point in the playoffs.
Unfortunately,
and like you get like a Ricky Rubio, and then you get like a I don't know like a CJ McCollum or whoever it is. I still just have a hard time figuring out. I don't think we're in the Beal camp anymore. I don't, unless we do that like massive where we're just sending all our picks plus Maxey plus Ben plus all of our prospects.
If we send everything, like, is it, I mean, it's, I think that's probably worth it. worth it, right? Like,
oh my God,
he's incredible. Like
the next 2 years, like Beal's gonna be like Booker or Mitchell, yeah, or one of these guys, like Levine or Booker,
where
or one of those
on
guys.
A good team, and it's like, holy,
oh wow, he's really good.
Loser putting up that's on a bad team. Like that's like Bill Simmons' like favorite thing to talk about, like teams that like literally have like one star and then like 25 replacement guys like on their roster.
Yeah.
Really, like it's like, oh wow, that's incredible that like an incredibly good top 20 player, as soon as he's playing on a good team, has success in the postseason. Unbelievable.
Well, I was gonna make a joke this episode about how, do you think that Ben Simmons, when he got injured his rookie year, learned a lot of losing habits from that?
That's a really good point, and we should talk about that. I'm like worried that this entire here's the thing, like a kid like Tyrese Maxey grows up and like he's watching TV, he's watching basketball. What's on SportsCenter like every other night? Stuff about the process.
Like he gets
drafted by Philly. Do you think that like maybe like some of that losing mentality might have seeped into him?
He literally said, "Fall in love with the process." He was wearing a shirt that said that when he got drafted.
He's very close to Joker-fied, which is either good or bad. I'm not quite sure. I said, it's, you know, I'm just like having an existential crisis. The vibes are strong.
Yeah, I feel like my whole body is.
Tyrese Maxey hasn't been Joker-fied yet. That takes a season of hope. That takes a season of hope followed by a debilitating second-round loss in which you were not utilized properly in the final game. You want to stop a Joker-fied Tyrese Maxey next year? Okay, buddy. Hashtag okay, buddy.
Wow. That's actually a really good point. I didn't even think of that, dude. Like,
hear this one. Shake Milton added too much muscle last offseason, and it's affecting his shooting. We were basically down an all-star this year. expect some toning and cutting this summer. Haters are going to wish they didn't speak to the dude. Hashtag okay.
Well, unironically, Doc thinks that Shake is going to be an all-star. So we now have gone from – maybe Doc is Joker-fied.
Here's my take on Doc from last night. Doc Rivers won a championship with Rajon Rondo, who wore number 9. How many playoff series leads has Doc blown? Yep, you guessed it, 9. You think he's going to ruin that and lose a 10th next season? Yeah, no. Hashtag.
Literally, Matt was at an open mic reading his tweets about the Sixers, and people are like, "I'm going home."
Please, please, you need to like post this and then like do like the picture of Joaquin Phoenix and the Joker meme.
Okay, so real question though. If Devin Booker didn't learn a ton of losing habits in his first 5 seasons when his second best player was like fucking Josh Jackson, do you think that the Suns would have a shot at the title?
Wait, what'd you say? Repeat it.
My question was if Devin Booker didn't learn a bunch of losing habits in his first 5 seasons of the NBA when his second best player was like Josh Jackson and like TJ Warren, do you think, and like Dragan Bender, do you think that maybe the Suns would have a shot at the title this year and he would be able to overcome the losing mentality and the losing culture of the Phoenix Suns?
No, I don't think he has any chance for the rest of his career. First off, you saw a bunch of really wonderful boys in Boston go overseas and play an incredibly important tournament. Where was Devin Booker? Playing against short white guys in a gym in Phoenix. I'm sorry, like we've seen all the success that the Boston Celtics have had in the past 2 years. What has Devin Booker done?
So what I'm trying to say is Jason Tatum a losing player and is Devin Booker a winning player now? Now have we reversed the trend?
I like have to listen to the new Bill Simmons because he would give me the answer. I don't even feel comfortable. I literally don't even feel comfortable. I repeat, it's going to be so funny that they just did a Celebrate Chris Paul podcast. And he's 100% going to say Chris Paul's a Ewing theory guy in this new podcast. Because the Sun,
oh my God, definitely.
He doesn't even remember his like takes from 3 days ago. It's going to be the funniest thing ever.
What if he tries to do a Danny Green Ewing theory?
Oh, well, I mean, I would actually like subscribe to that. I mean, like, did we win a series when Danny Green was hurt? No. Yeah, I don't remember that. Did the Lakers? No.
Well, all I'm saying is Lakers – Raptors didn't even make the playoffs this year.
Lakers, Spurs, Raptors, lost. Celtics, Heat, just like, thank I mean, like the Bucks are like whatever. The Bucks are like the Jazz to me.
I don't hate the Bucks.
Yeah,
really.
They're like whatever. I just don't care that much about the Bucks. Like the Jazz are universally reviled, so it's kind of funny, anyways. Like it would have been funny, like in a Joker-fied way, if the Jazz had won the NBA championship.
Oh, absolutely.
With the Lake, like the Lakers, Celtics, Heat, and Lakers, Celtics, Heat. Who am I forgetting? And the Raptors, like out of the playoffs, like.
And the Nets.
Makes this elimination sting a little bit less. And the Nets, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, whoever wins, I don't really care. I think for the funniest outcome is Trey or Devin Booker winning the title, because the Bill Simmons Cope podcast after that.
Oh, my God. Because he hates Trey Young and Devin Booker.
Yep.
Oh, no. Yeah, I need that to happen. Now yeah. I know what I'm rooting for the rest of the playoffs.
There you go.
Oh, this is so cool. I wouldn't have even thought of that if I wasn't on the podcast.
There's only one calculator. There's one calculator boy team left. There's the one fucking Kevin Pelton, Seth Partnow, whatever. That's the Milwaukee Bucks. So if any of the other team wins, Real Hooper Revolution is here.
They're all Real Hooper teams, too. Like, it's incredible.
The Bucks, the three of the four are Real Hooper teams.
And that's what I meant. That's what I'm saying. Three of the four. I didn't mean the Bucks.
The Bucks are the only Bucks analytics is Bucks.
Is
yes, they
is
are.
Chris Middleton partially a Real Hooper? I think
No. He's more an analytics guy. Yeah, yeah.
He takes smart shots.
He does take smart shots. He does take a lot of mid-range shots.
Under like a dumber coach, like for instance, like a Doc Rivers, for instance. Like, yeah. Might become a Real Hooper kind of guy.
Hold on. Budenholzer is a better coach than Doc Rivers right now, playoff-wise.
No, he is. I don't even think it's arguable. Like,
this is literally the worst day of my life.
No, but I'm not even kidding. He definitely is, right? And I think Budenholzer is a horrible coach. Like, I also think he's very dumb. But I just think Doc is, like, literally the worst coach. Like I was in a group chat the other day, and, like, someone was like, someone said like I was like, oh, like Doc's the worst coach in the playoffs, and they were like, oh, what's his name in Washington?
Scott Brooks.
Yeah, Scott Brooks would like to have a word, and I'm like, I don't know, man.
No, Doc's a better coach than Scott Brooks.
Doc is definitely a better coach than Scott Brooks, but Scott Brooks was working with less. I don't know.
Of the second round teams, though, Doc's definitely the worst
of the second round teams.
Yeah, at least when it comes to the playoffs,
but he's in a category with Scott Brooks, man. Like. That's who, like,
I think he's above him, but like not like I think Scott Brooks is probably the worst coach in the NBA. So
he might be the worst coach of like one. That's a lie. There's been worse coaches in the 21st century.
He's made it to the finals, hasn't he? With Kevin Durant and James Harden.
He made it to a couple conference finals. Like, sorry, like Doc hasn't been to a conference finals in like 100 years.
Literally, 2012 was the last time when they beat us. They took. Bro, they literally had to take that Sixers team to seven games.
Oh my God, you're right.
Uncut Gems.
Wow, yeah.
That was like an
all-time Celtics team. Like the roster was incredible.
I think by that point they were a little bit older and more injured and stuff.
But that was like when Rondo was like at his peak.
Yeah, true. Rondo was much better.
Ray Allen was still really good. Paul Pierce was definitely like feeling it. And, like, but like I don't know. You still have like
Garnett,
Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Rajon Rondo, and Kevin Garnett. Like
if you have Kevin Garnett, you should have a shot at the title every year. Yeah.
Like, I still distinctly remember Evan Turner and Andre Iguodala after the Bulls series, like, jumping on, like, the scores table. Like,
oh my God.
Evan Turner, who's not in the NBA anymore, who wasn't even in the final circle of Celtics head coaching candidates, who was literally driven to the airport by Sam Hinkie, took you to seven games. And it was, like, close in the seventh game.
And now we have Evan Turner without a mid-range game as our point guard. So,
can you imagine this Sixers team with Doc playing that? Yeah, I know, literally. It's horrible. Can you imagine this Sixers team with Doc playing against the 2019 Raptors?
We would have lost in four.
It would have been so bad.
To be fair, we had Jimmy Butler.
No, it's a different – Doc. Like, obviously, isn't like – we don't have Jimmy Butler, but, like, this team just – that just proves, like, this team just wasn't –
that good.
It was like that Sixers 2019 team would probably beat this team in five.
I feel like a fucking idiot for buying in. I feel like that Tobias Fünke meme where he's like, I feel like a fucking idiot. That's
No, I do too. And I my entire, like, I'm, as soon as we get off this, I'm going to paint my entire body blue. And then I'm just going to rinse it off in the shower and cry myself to sleep.
Oh, God. All right. Well, that's a good place to end it. Yeah. I have to go. Hopefully, we'll talk before next season, and we'll have talked ourselves back into the Sixers because that's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, guys. Like, and you know, obviously this loss sucks, but like, why don't you try and get a new hobby? Like, don't base your entire life on sports. Try new foods. Like, go get Indian cuisine. I don't know. Try something. Like, all you do is sit on your asses and watch basketball. Like, why don't you go take a walk? And like meet new people.
Hike, maybe go for a hike.
Yeah, like, why don't you go on a hike, dude? Like, why don't you go to Cabo? Like, pick try up something biking. New. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, why don't you ask your rich father to give you money so you can go backpacking through Europe? Try something.
Right. Yeah. Also, go to therapy. Honestly, most of us should be on anti. As someone
why
who's
don't
on
you guys
antidepressants,
just buy Lexapro.
It can't hurt, to be honest. It really it can't. Hurt.
Everybody that is listening to this should probably take Lexapro.
No one should invest their emotional health into the 76ers anymore. I have freed myself from this. I'm sad because this was such a fun season, but
it was. In all sincerity, it actually was a really fun ride, and it was way more fun. I don't care that like it didn't. I mean, it ended poorly, but it was so much more fun than last year. Like it just.
Oh, really, absolutely! And the off season is more fun than the actual season because we get to lie to ourselves. So
yeah, this is our first full season with Daryl Morey. Like, we'll convince ourselves that we're getting a superstar. We'll probably get like Malik Beasley and like Hernan Gomez or some shit.
That sounds great. Malik Beasley, though, the low-key sleeping. Maybe Colin Sexton. I don't know. Get me Bucket
Getters,
maybe.
Malik Beasley is a bag.
Malik Monk? Come on. Malik. Let's just get all the Maliks. Malik Rose? Bring him
hold
out of retirement.
Hold up. Terry Rozier, Malik Monk. Ooh. Welcome to the Philadelphia 76ers. This has been your Ball. We'll talk to you guys later.
Peace.